Good morning. I invite you to hear these words that come to us this morning from Matthew's gospel. These are Jesus' words. Jesus says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, today we're continuing in our series of messages entitled Distorted, whereby we're looking at familiar passages of Scripture and how many times they are misread or misunderstood or, as we're saying, distorted. Now, our focus today is on one of the most familiar passages of Scripture. People who don't even know the Bible know this passage of Scripture from Matthew when Jesus says, "Do not judge. Do not judge, or you too will be judged." Many times you hear it from the King James Version, however, you know, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." Again, people who don't even believe in Jesus, know the Scriptures very well, they know this verse. Yeah, and when I open my Bible and look within it in Matthew's Gospel, these words appear in red, which mean what? Which mean Jesus must have said these, or he did say these. And so what are we supposed to do then with this passage? Jesus says, "Judge not, lest you be judged." Now, on the surface, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I mean, who wants to be judged? It's no fun to be judged, especially if you're wrongly judged. I mean, has it ever happened to you? You ever been, things that have been assumed about you, or you've been judged, maybe unfairly? I'll give you an example. Mindy recently asked if we had gotten an envelope from her mother in the mail. And I said, "Well, I haven't seen one." "No." She goes, "Well, you know, you get the mail and you go through it. Maybe you threw it away." I'm like, "No, I go through the mail. I would have seen it if we'd gotten something. And so I'm sure that I did not throw that away." But we couldn't find the envelope. And so Mindy said, "Hey, well, maybe you threw it away with the recycling, because a lot of times, you know, we'll get stuff and, you know, maybe catalogs and things, and I'll set it over in the recycling, and it goes into the recycling bin." And I'm, you know, so Mindy said, "Maybe it got thrown away with the recycling." I'm like, "Hey, you know, again, I go through this. I would have seen it. It's not in recycling." And so, you know, I'm kind of getting a little bit irritated, because I feel like Mindy was, you know, assuming that I had automatically thrown it away, that she was judging me. You know, and again, that's no fun. But we looked, we couldn't find it, and still it was nowhere to found. And so just to appease her, I went out to the recycling bin, and I began to pick through the cardboard and the paper and the plastic bottles, and again, no envelope. And then, you know, I was like, "Oh, well," you know, and I was looking through some catalogs or picking through some catalogs, and guess what? There in the recycling was the envelope from Mindy's mother. Now, again, Mindy had assumed that I had thrown it away from the beginning, and in this case, she was right. But I'll just say, it's not fun. You know, it still didn't feel good to feel like I was being judged, right? Whether they're right or not, okay? And so that's why when, you know, I read the words of Jesus, "Do not judge," at face value, they sound pretty good. All right, I don't want to be judged. I'll do what I want to do. You do what you want to do. Don't judge me, and I'm not going to judge me, and everybody will be happy. Unfortunately, the danger with that approach to life is that we can find ourselves just pretty much tolerating everything, every kind of behavior, every action, every response. "Do not judge, or you too will be judged." So what do we do with this passage? I mean, did Jesus really mean that we're never to judge? I mean, if that's the case, then no jury has the right to judge anyone or hold anyone accountable for a crime. I mean, who's to say that someone was innocent or someone was guilty? You know, a police officer has no right to tell you that, "Hey, you know what, you were driving on the wrong side of the road." Okay? "Oh, well, you have no right to tell me that. You no have right to pass judgment on me." And so is Jesus saying that we're never to judge? Because I believe, you know, at some level, we're allowed to judge. We need to judge. For example, you know, our culture says that we shouldn't judge anyone's, you know, sexual life, you know, who they're with, when they do it all, you know, with whom, when, and where, all that kind of stuff. What if someone wants to have a relationship with a 12-year-old child? Don't you think we should be speaking into that person's life? Should be judging them on that? Do we have a right to judge someone's funny haircut? right? I mean, oh my God, did you see it? It looks like a bird's nest. Hey, do we have a right to judge? Or if it's one of your kids comes to you and say, hey, I'm getting a new haircut and I'm having this bad word shaped into the side of my head. Do we have a right to speak into that? I mean, what if some random person at work, you know, and they're really, really flirty. And you don't know them very well, but they're really flirty, but you know they're married. I mean, do you have a right to say something about that? You know, what if it's your best friend? And they're a person of faith, they're a Christian, and again, they're married, and they're really flirty. And so they're flirting really a whole lot with somebody in the office, and it looks really bad. Again, do you have a right to speak into that? Or are you to never judge? See, judging is complicated, okay? Not to judge, when to judge. I mean, Jesus says, do not judge, yet you be judged. So what does that mean? We never have a right to call into questions maybe someone's behavior, maybe what they said or didn't do or what they did, anything like that. So how do we approach this text? Well, I think it's important to remember that with any text, we need to understand its context. When it was written, who was it written to, what comes before the passage, what comes after the particular passage. I mean, again, it's important to understand the context. It's also important to look at the passage in the light of other scripture. Okay, what else does the Bible say about maybe this topic or this theme? And so we have to look at the totality of what God says throughout the scriptures and build our theology, our understanding around the totality of scripture rather than maybe just one passage here or one passage there. And then I think it's important to look at, well, how do we apply this? How do we live this out in our lives? How do we to understand it? And so we interpret scripture. We look at scripture at its context in the light of other scriptures. How do we apply all of that? And so with that in mind, let's go back to here to Matthew chapter 7. So what comes before Matthew chapter 7? Matthew chapter 6. Not a trick question. So if you open your Bible and you're looking at it, if you notice in Matthew chapter 6, what is Jesus talking about? What seems to be the focus? And when you read through it, what it looks like, what I find is that Jesus is really talking about this thing called hypocrisy. Right, we know what hypocrisy is. It's claiming to have moral standards or beliefs to which one's own behavior or one's own standards don't live up to it, okay? Does not conform. And so Jesus is talking a lot about hypocrisy, especially in light of the Pharisees, the religious leaders who seem to, you know, spout all this stuff and then their lives, their actions, what they said, what they do, you know, doesn't back it up. So Jesus is sort of railing on these the Pharisees and their hypocrisy in verse 2, in verse 5, in verse 16. I mean, again, he's dealing with this. We get to Matthew chapter 7, and Jesus says, hey, do not judge. But later on in just a few verses from that, he says, hey, but be aware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. And so here's Jesus. Okay, Jesus saying, do not judge. Okay, but if we're going to deem someone a false prophet, then at some point we're going to have to make a judgment, right? Somehow we're going to have to determine whether they are a false prophet or if they are a person from God. So again, in light of the context, what is Jesus saying? I mean, when you read on, Jesus says, how can you say to your neighbor, let me take the speck out of your eye while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. So again, when you take the passage, do not judge, or you too will be judged, and look at it within its context within Matthew and throughout Scripture, the overarching theme is not really judgment, but hypocrisy. Now, let me just say this. Every single person that I know is a hypocrite. We all are. None of us live up to our values or our highest beliefs. Okay, think about it. We're all hypocrites. We all fall short. We all fail. And this isn't a Christian thing. This is a human thing, okay? This is a human problem. We are all hypocrites in one way or another. So in this passage, and almost all of the passages that Jesus speaks about, not judging others, he's really directing those to the Pharisees who were epitomized what it means to be a hypocrite there. The 19th century Anglican bishop, J.C. Ryle, he captures it well when he says this. He says, "What our Lord means to condemn is a censorious, fault-finding spirit, a readiness to blame others for trifling offenses or matters of indifference, a habit of passing rash and hasty judgments, a disposition to magnify the errors and infirmities of our neighbors and make worst of them. This is what our Lord forbids." And then he adds, which was also common among the Pharisees. So here's the thing. I don't think Jesus is prohibiting us from making moral judgments. I mean, we got to discern for right from wrong. You know, we're called to strive to live by the commandments that God has given us. And so that doesn't forbid us from having a critical, judgmental, from judging others, in other words, okay? But what Jesus is, I think, pointing us to here in Matthew and in other places is being overly critical, having a judgmental spirit that exalts ourselves while looking down upon others. Okay? I mean, because that was the problem the Pharisees was having. That's why Jesus was speaking out about that. They would exalt themselves while looking down upon others. Which is why I believe this passage still speaks to us, because we have a habit of being like those Pharisees from time to time, right? I mean, how many times have you looked at someone else and said, you know what, I'm so glad that I'm not as bad as them? Or you look at somebody else's kids and say, wow, I'm so glad, I'm so thankful that my kids aren't as crazy as those kids. I mean, we pass judgment on people all the time, don't we? We judge people on where they went to school, what they wear, what they look like, the color of their skin, their orientation, where they live, what political party they might be associated with, if they go to church or not. I mean, the list could go on and on. We have a habit of judging people, making assumptions about people. You know, when I went to college at App State up in Boone, I quickly learned that a lot of people from Florida like the mountains, especially in the fall and in the summer. And I also quickly learned that most people from Florida didn't know how to drive very well in the mountains. And they always drove really slow if the road was curvy. And if you're in the mountains, guess what? Almost every road is curvy. And so these folks from Florida would always drive really slow. And so I would automatically, and so over time, I automatically assumed that they couldn't drive. Even to this day, I'll see someone do something stupid on the road or going really slow, and I'll automatically think, well, they got to be from Florida. And a lot of times they are. But what am I doing? I'm judging them, aren't I? Yeah, I don't know. I'm making an assumption. And we do this all the time in lots of different ways for lots of different reasons. And it's why Jesus said in John 14, he said, "Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment." Do not judge by appearances, but judge correctly. Again, how do we understand Scripture? We look at its context. We look at it in light of other scriptures. And so again, it's not that Jesus is telling us not to judge, but don't do it by mere appearances, he's saying. Not fair to be judged by mere appearances, is it? It doesn't feel good. Again, it doesn't feel good. Or maybe to be judged by a first impression, or to be judged just because you're in Florida that you automatically can't drive. Right? Look at my own life. I mean, I'm a pretty strong introvert. Okay, when it comes to that. Meaning, I'm not going to be the life of the party. And it's not like I don't like people. It's just when I'm around people for extended amount of time, it becomes very draining for me. Someone who's extrovert, when they're around people, you know, that energizes them. Not so with me. It's why, you know, most Sunday afternoons I go home and I take a nap for a little bit, okay? Because I'm drained. Now, because of that, you know, I can come across to folks sometimes as maybe being disinterested or arrogant or uncaring. But when I'm with a smaller group of people or maybe one-on-one, people experience me differently. Or at least that's what I've been told. Now, that may or might not be true, but that's why it's important, again, not to judge from a distance or by mere appearances. You know, that rich guy, oh my gosh, did you see what they spend their money on, blah, 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 blah. Well, you know what, they may have a lot, but they may give a lot away. All right, do we never really know? You know, or, you know, I met her and she is just so, oh my goodness, blah, blah, blah. And so we base a judgment on maybe one encounter or one first impression. Right? We judge based on merely an appearance and don't take the time to truly know someone or get beyond that. You know, this week, United Methodists from all over the world are gathering here in Charlotte for what is called General Conference. General Conference is the body within our denomination that speaks for our denomination, makes policy decisions. It's the only, you know, it is the body that can make changes to our book of discipline that is our, you know, that guides us. And so it's made up an equal number of elected clergy and laity from all over the world. Also, all United Methodists are gathering in Charlotte beginning this week. And so a lot of eyes of the world are going to be upon as Christians, we treat and we relate to one another, as we as United Methodists do that. And unfortunately, last time we gathered together for General Conference, it wasn't always pretty. We saw some of the shadow and the dark sides of one another. I mean, we're human. We're hypocrites, okay? We can be judgmental. And unfortunately, there will be judgments, I believe, there will be judgments based on appearances and even some first impressions this week. But my hope is that, you know, people will be able to see beyond that or go beyond that and not, you know, we don't always get it right. I'm sure we won't be getting along all the time at General Conference, but hopefully they will also see the best of us, the best of us who call ourselves as Methodists, and most importantly, the best of humanity. Because ultimately we're called to love God and to love people, right? And that we're not going to judge by mere appearances or from a distance. That we're going to give people the benefit of the doubt. We're going to believe and trust in the best about people. Because I believe that's ultimately who God is calling us to be. So I hope that is reflected this week. Anglican priest and theologian John Stott writes this. He says, "The command to judge not is not a requirement to be blind, but rather a plea to be generous. Or as James puts it in his book, mercy overrules judgment." Mercy overrules judgment. You know, I think here at St. Stephen, that's what we strive to live into or strive to be. We strive to be, you know, a safe place that welcomes everyone, a place where you can come with questions, a place where hopefully you're not being judged, you're not being condemned because maybe you have a different understanding or a different perspective than someone else, that you're welcome here regardless if you're a believer, regardless if you understand all this or not. Now, we don't always get that right. But we strive towards it. Strive toward living into how mercy overrules judgment. Because I think that's the way Jesus was. I mean, Jesus went to people who were doing really crazy things, bad things. And what did he do? He loved them. He hung out with them. He didn't leave them there now. I understand that. But he didn't condemn them. He may have pointed out, hey, this is where you've gone astray. But he didn't say, hey, because of that, you can have no part of me. You know, he still loved on them, you know, and invited them to be with him. See, Jesus is the one who changes us. We don't change people, okay? That's not what we do. I mean, we're not called to change people. We're called to love them and introduce them to God who does the changing. See, the measure of our Christianity is not how well we judge others, but it is how well we love them. See, love is a demonstration of our faith. It's meant to be the defining characteristic of who we are because it was the defining characteristic of Jesus. So again, it's not how well we judge, but it's in how well we love. Paul talks about this in a very familiar passage of scripture from 1 Corinthians. You hear it at weddings all the time. It wasn't really written to a couple getting married. It was written to all of us as to how to live life. When Paul writes, hey, love is this, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. It does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. See, to love involves sacrifice, giving up something in order to bless someone else, encouraging others. It's not about passing judgment. You know, it's why I love this story about a high school basketball coach and a player and a game. Take a look.
Coach Peter Morales of the Coronado High School Thunderbirds in El Paso, Texas, makes no qualms about it. He has a favorite on this team.
Mitchell, I need you. I need you to help me out with my coaching tits, Mitchell.
Team manager Mitchell Marcus has a developmental disability.
1, 2, 3,
and he far surpasses everyone here when it comes to love of the game.
He's this amazing person that our basketball team loves being around.
Yay! Mitchell's mom, Amy, says he's always been that way.
Mitchell always had a basketball. That was always what he wanted for his birthday.
And because basketball is that important to him, on the last game of the regular season, the coach told Mitchell to suit up.
What was it like to put on the uniform?
I was very happy.
I imagine you were.
Just wearing a jersey was enough for Mitchell. But what he didn't know, what no one knew at the time, was that the coach planned to play him at the end, no matter what the score.
You were prepared to lose that game?
For his moment, yes. For his moment in time, yes.
And so, with a minute and a half left, Coronado leading, but only by 10, Coach Morales put in his manager.
And just started hearing Mitchell, Mitchell.
But here's where the fairy tale fell apart. Although his teammates did everything they could to get Mitchell a basket, each time they passed him the ball, he either missed the shot or, like on their last possession, booted it out of bounds, turning the ball over to the other team with just seconds left.
He wasn't going to be able to score. But I was hoping that he was happy that he was just put in the game.
Could you have ever imagined what happened next?
No, I didn't. I could not. Not at all.
What happened next happened on the inbound. The guy with the ball there is a senior at Franklin High School, number 22, Jonathan Montañez.
I was raised to treat others how you want to be treated. Just thought Mitchell deserved his chance, deserved his opportunity.
I think I'll cry about it for the rest of my life.
What Jonathan did was yell out Mitchell's name, then threw the ball right to it, right there. One of the most memorable turnovers of all time. It wasn't the game-winning shot. When the buzzer sounded, Coronado had 15 more points than Franklin. But Jonathan's assist and Mitchell's basket did change the outcome decidedly. Play any game with this much sportsmanship. Both teams win.
Did you hear what the coach said when he was asked if he was ready to lose this game, if he was prepared to lose the game? What did he say? For his moment, for Mitchell's moment, yes. He was willing to sacrifice, willing to give up something for someone else. And in doing so, that act of love was contagious, was it not? Everyone wanted to see Mitchell succeed. His teammates, his classmates, his school, and even the other team. Now, I will say it would have been easy for people just to simply, judge Mitchell because of his maybe his disability. But again, a coach, a team, a school didn't judge him on mere appearances, but instead chose mercy, chose love, chose kindness. See, I think it's what Jesus hopes from us. And then, you know, this is not hard, it's not complicated, you don't need a degree for this. Okay? It's who we're just called to be. Jesus says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. Again, I don't think he's prohibiting us from making moral judgments, prohibiting us from discerning right from wrong. All right? But instead to strive to live by God's commandments. But in doing so, not exalting ourselves above others. Okay. To not judge by simply appearances, and to remember that mercy overrules judgment. I want to end with this quote by L.R. Nost. Nost writes, "Do not be dismayed by the brokenness of the world. All things break. All things can be mended. Not with time, as they say, but with intention. So go. Love intentionally, extravagantly, unconditionally. The broken world waits in darkness for the light that is you." I like that. How do others come to know who God is? Well, through us. Do we always get it right? No. Can we be too judgmental? Yeah, I mean, that's the knock against us as people of faith, especially young adults and youth. Why are you not a Christian? Why do you not go to church? They say, well, you know, they're too judgmental. They're hypocritical. Well, we are hypocritical. All of us are. Humanity is. But my hope is that we choose love, that mercy trumps, all right, judgment. It's not that we're not called to judge. Ah, but it's a complicated thing, is it not? Sometimes we go a little bit overboard. So let us not be dismayed by the brokenness. Let us love intentionally, extravagantly, unconditionally. Let us pray. Gracious God, you know us. You know us better than we know ourselves. And you know when we are too judgmental, overly judgmental, we're so critical that we assume the worst based on the least amount of information. We make a judgment simply by an appearance, and we don't take the time to get to know someone or to really to build a relationship with them. So Lord, help us not to be so judgmental in that way. So forgive us for being that, for failing to truly love others, for the times where we have felt justified in saying and doing something that has hurt someone else rather than practicing kindness. So Lord, help us to walk in your light. Help us to love. Help us to live into who you've called us to be. For it is in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.